Did you know that there are alternative ways to acquire manuscripts? There are. If you've identified your subject and you want someone else to do the writing, you can hire a ghostwriter. This is what a lot of busy professionals do. You can find people in a wide range of pay scales. If you're willing to go with an unpublished writer, they'll probably accept 10 cents a word. Ask around in creative writing classes, check librarians for referrals, or seek members of the local writers club. You might even run a classified ad in the newspaper. If you want a professional, you have several options. You can look in Working Press of the Nation under your general subject category. You can check Editorial Services online, or you can contact members of the American Society of Journalists and Authors in New York. When working with a ghostwriter, be sure you have firmly in mind what you want done. Will the person work from your notes and other written material, or will he or she use tapes or personal interviews? Is the writer expected to do a lot of research to flesh out the book? The more specific, organized, prompt, and cooperative you are, the happier and less expensive this experience will be. Believe me, the process can be smooth as silk or as rough as burlap. You know, a lot of people ghostwrite books, and the experiences really range from wonderful to very poor. So you got to kind of be careful on this one. When dealing with a professional, proven ghostwriter, expect to pay at least half of the agreed upon fee at the beginning. The original thinking process, material organization, and research usually takes longer than the actual writing. Interim payments are made as the manuscript is delivered. Ghostwriting can be considered work for hire if you formally employ the ghostwriter with deductions and a W-2 form for your taxes. You need to have this written in a contract, so specifying. If you don't have such an agreement or one assigning all rights to you, the writer can claim the copyright belongs to him or her. So be careful, this can be a technical area. Another way to generate a book is to put the word out that your publishing company is seeking manuscripts. Send information on your specific requirements to Writer's Digest or The Writer. These are writers' newsletters. Your notice, which will be inserted free as space permits, should be brief and to the point. Or if you're aware of several good articles on a central theme, you might contact their authors. Investigate the possibility of putting them together in an anthology. After coming to a publication agreement, let the original writers update, shorten, or lengthen the material as needed. You could even string together a group of your own past articles with a central theme if you've retained the rights or if the rights have reverted back to you. With one of my books, years after it was published, I went back and I purchased the rights from the publisher. This is an option. For a few $100s, you might even buy outright all rights to a booklet-length manuscript from a talented but unpublished writer. This not only helps you, but gives the struggling writer encouragement, a financial boost, and a published sample. As a point of clarification, international standards say that a publication must be at least 49 pages without the covers to be classified as a book. The U.S. Postal Service is much more lenient. It rules that 8 or more pages are eligible for book rate postage. This is helpful for poets who may want to put together a short selection of their work as a chap book. Sometimes people purposefully break up a book and sell it in a booklet form. Mail order correspondence courses do this a lot. After you've purchased so many booklets, you're provided with a binder to hold the completed series. Monographs, which are short reports on a particular subject, also lend themselves to self-publishing. A still different way to acquire a book is to track down one that is out of copyright. Perhaps you know of an old volume of recipes or quaint household hints, or you come across an intriguing old book while rummaging in the library, at garage sales, or in a used bookstore. If the copyright has expired, it's now in the public domain and literally up for grabs. What you may want to do is annotate the book and add a foreword that you write, thus bringing it up to date and making it unique. Books published before September 19, 1906 are automatically in the public domain. Some that were issued after that also may be reusable if they were published in the U.S. before 1964 and their copyright was not renewed, or if they were first published more than 75 years ago. To check on a title's status, you just contact the Copyright Office, and the number is 202-707-6850. That's 202-707-6850. They charge $20 an hour for a copyright search and can typically check on 3 titles in an hour. You can locate old books through antiquarian dealers, those who specialize in out-of-print books, and they're listed geographically in the American Book Trade Directory and in the Yellow Pages. Once you get your hands on a copy of an old, good book, it's usually a simple matter to have a printer photograph the pages onto plates, and presto, you're in the publishing business. Now, I wish you all the good luck in the world as you write your book. Don't be afraid. It takes courage and determination to just take that first step, but you'll learn that absolutely writing a book is one of the most incredible experiences you can have and has the power to change lives for generations to come. And why wouldn't anyone want to do that? This is Dr. Paula Fellingham. Have a wonderful day.